Now, what does all this mean when we think about money? Because the context of this lesson has to do with money. 80% of how money will contribute to happiness, security, and joy in your life comes from how you spend the first portion of it.
Welcome to Intentional Living. Your host is Dr. Randy Carlson, the founder and president of the Intentional Living Center and your advocate for the family. Today, Dr. Randy continues his series, God's Intention for Your Money. Now from the Intentional Living Center in Tucson, Arizona, where we want to help you be intentional for your life, here's Randy.
All right, thank you, Kurt, and we're having a great time here these 3 days talking about a big topic, money. And, you know, as we start here in December, part of the reason we're doing this right now is because we know there's a lot of stress around the whole topic of money during the holidays. In fact, our friend and contributor here at Intentional Living, Greg Jance, Dr. Greg Jance, joins me later talking about marriage and money stress during the holidays. So he's coming up a little bit later. In a moment, though, we're going to go over to our teaching studio where I recorded a while ago with my staff and also friends of the ministry, a 3-day series on this topic of God's intention for money. I want to share some more with you. In the opening, you heard me referencing what's often called the 80-20 rule or the Pareto principle. Maybe you've heard of that. If you've studied leadership or life in general, you know that you tend to get 80% of the return on about 20% of the work or 20% of the investment. And that's true when it comes to managing money. And I'll demonstrate that for you coming up in just a few minutes. Hey, we'd love to hear your stories about money, how God is teaching you and training you. What are some tips that are working for you you can share with others? We asked the question on Facebook, what's your best money-saving tip? Jacqueline says, meal planning and preparation, eating out less. Huge. Do the math. You can do the math and find that adds up pretty quickly. Debbie says, decide what is a want and what is a need. And of course, spend on needs and save the wants. Whatever you do, don't buy on credit. Diana says, work on a budget plan. You know, a budget plan, that just sometimes scares people. But a budget plan can be as simple as an envelope system where you say, hey, here's how much we're going to spend in these categories and work on cash. There's some ideas for you. Got more as we get into the teaching on this topic, as we continue on God's intention for your money, day 2. Alfredo Pareto was an Italian economist. And in the late 19th century and early 20th century, this Italian economist made an observation. In 1906, he was doing research and observed that in Italy, 80% of the land was owned by 20% of the population. Well, he was a researcher and he was also a horticulturalist, and so he wondered if that principle worked in other areas of life. And so in his garden, he wondered if that was true even in gardening. And he split up his garden where he was growing peas, and he made his little measurements, and he found that 80% of the peas that were produced in his garden came from 20% of the pea pods. And he started to wonder, does this principle work in other areas? People came along after him over the years and started to discover that what we now refer to as the Pareto principle, or the 80-20 principle, applies to almost everything in life. In fact, the research shows that nearly 80% of all of the wealth in the world is controlled by less than 20% of the population. We discover that the Pareto principle works in all areas. And we're going to talk in a moment how it works in the area of finances as well. Now, we use different terms today. We talk about the 80-20 rule, the Pareto principle. We talk about the vital few, the law of diminishing returns. We talk in the ministry about low-hanging fruit, right? Going after the things that are going to give us the biggest return. Think about it in our lives. Isn't it true that 20% of the effort that you and I give at work tends to give us 80% of our return? Isn't it true that 80% of the problems that we have in our lives tend to come from the same 20% issues? Isn't it true that 80% of intimacy in marriage tends to come from the 20% of the time that we're together? Because there's always things that we're doing. We're raising kids and we're paying bills, but investing that 20% into communicating and, and spending time together gives us 80% of the return. 80% of success in life will come from 20% of the time that we spend in prayer, going to school, in planning for the future. This Pareto principle, or 80-20 rule, is something that applies to almost everything that we do in life. Did you remember when you were in school and you would study, you could get 80% of your grade by about 20% of your study time? And it was that last little bit that got you from a B to an A, right? And what happens so often in life is that we spend a lot of time focusing on the 80% and not on the 20% that's going to give us the best return. Now, what does all this mean when we think about money? Because the context of this lesson has to do with money. 80% of how money will contribute to happiness, security, and joy in your life comes from how you spend the first portion of it. Now, I wouldn't normally quote Bertrand Russell. He's not one of the great Christian theologians of the world, but he made an interesting statement I agree with. He said, "To be without some of the things you want is an indispensable part of happiness." Think with me for a moment now. Think with me for a moment. Think about this 80-20 principle and how we, from a financial perspective, can get things out of whack in our lives. When we see that Christians are tithing, not tithing, but giving like 2% and not saving for the future, that we tend to live on 100% of what we make, and in the past maybe 102% of what we made and made up the difference with credit cards and borrowing, something's wrong, see? And if the 80-20 principle works, the Pareto principle works, it should work in finances as well. And I believe that it does. 80% of the things that matter most in our life will come from how we use the first portion of our money. Think with me for a moment. Think about our cars. 80% of independence comes from having a car, not from the cost of the car. 80% of your independence will come as well from a $10,000 car as from a $50,000 car. You don't go from a $10,000 car to a $50,000 car and have five times as much happiness, do you? 80% of joy in your family comes from doing things together, not from the cost. 80% of the joy of spending time with my family and my grandkids doesn't come from how much I spend in doing that. There's a disproportional increase in happiness by increasing the expense. Does that make sense? 80% of the impact from this ministry that God has given us comes from our broadcasting, comes from our teaching, from our products. It doesn't come from how much money we spend on a piece of equipment. It doesn't come from how much money is spent on a recorder or a translator or a transmitter. 80% of it's going to come by being wise in how we use our funds. And you know, that's the same thing that's true in our own personal finances. If the 80-20 principle works, then it will work in every area of our lives.
In a moment, Dr. Randy continues today's teaching, God's Intention for Your Money. When you become a new monthly member, we'll send you the Intentional Living New Member Kit, which is Dr. Randy's books with autographs, Starve for Affection and The Power of One Thing, the IL wristband, as well as Dr. Randy's coaching CDs every month. Join today. Go to theintentionallife.com or call 1-888-888-1717 and press option number 4. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible by the generous support of listeners just like you. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio. We are Intentional Living, and we'll be right back.
In just a moment, I have three things to help you be intentional with your money and your marriage.
This is the Intentional Living Minute. Here's Dr. Randy Carlson, founder of the Intentional Living Center.
You know, whenever I do a marriage conference, I find that money is always one of the key issues that's either a strength or a weakness in your marriage relationship. And I've come up with a list of intentionals, 10 things for money and relationships. Let me share three of them that I think will be very practical for you today. If you can't afford it, don't buy it. Putting limits on yourself by having a budget and preparing in advance, knowing where your money's coming from, how much is coming in, how much is going out is key. If you don't need it, leave it. And number three, if you can't agree, don't proceed. That's an important part of being intentional. For Intentional Living, I'm Randy Carlson.
For more information and inspiration, go to theintentionallife.com.
An intentional life in Christ can make all the difference.
After almost 3 years of offering relevant biblical advice on the radio, Dr. Randy Carlson has become a trusted voice in so many homes. Ideas on parenting, marriage, finance, and anything else life has in store. And now, you can access that helpful information in the palm of your hand when you download the mobile app from the Intentional Living Center. Audio and video clips on all sorts of subjects. Access to the daily radio program. You can even interact with others on the Intentional Living blog. Visit your app store and download it today from the Intentional Living Center.
Today's teaching from the Intentional Living Center is available to you with our thanks for your gift to the ministry. The teaching includes not only what you hear on the radio today, but all the sessions of this entire study. Find out more at theintentionallife.com. Now, let's get back to Dr. Randy as he continues today's teaching. Just go to theintentionallife.com to find out more. Now, let's get back to Dr. Randy in the teaching studio at the Intentional Living Center.
So what is this 10-10-80 thing? If it's true that the Bible says that we're to tithe, give 10%, and it's reasonable that we should save 10%, right? And live on 80%, why is that so hard for us to do? Why is it so difficult? I think it's because our wants always exceed our means. See? Our desires always exceed the reality of what is coming in. And it doesn't make much difference how much a person makes. It makes a big difference on what a person spends and their priorities. Intentional living is all about doing the next right one thing. That's what we teach. That's really the 80-20 principle, isn't it? Every day, doing the next right one thing. I was thinking about 80-20 for a moment, and I was thinking about if we have 14 hours in a day that we're up and moving around and active in our lives, 20% of that is about 3 hours. If the 80-20 principle works, if the vital few work, if this idea of the Pareto principle works, it's saying that if we were every day to make sure that we're giving 3 hours of attention to the things that are going to give us the best return in our lives, investing into our marriage, into our kids, into thinking, into planning, we get a much bigger return, don't we? When we look back over our lives, most of us, think about it, most of us, when we think back over our lives, don't remember a whole lot of what we've done. But if you take a timeline of our life, if you go from the point of your birth to where we are today, there might be a 8 or 10 or 12 things on that line that sort of jump off the page that you say, you know, that decision right there or the way I spent money at that moment in time gave a huge return for the investment. And it comes down to making a decision on what the priorities are going to be in our life. In Mark chapter 10, we get a beautiful picture again from Scripture of this whole principle of our priorities. This is a very familiar passage of the rich young ruler in Mark chapter 10 and the encounter of Jesus has with this person. Let me just read it to you and then let's see how this applies to the idea of the 10-10-80. Now as he was going out on the road, one came running, knelt before him and asked him, "Good teacher, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" So Jesus said to him, and this is a confusing verse to many. "Why do you call me good? No one is good but one, and that is God." You know what Jesus is saying to this young man? He's saying, you're looking for some sort of a quick fix here. You want a little Jesus idol, see? You want to put something on the dashboard that's going to say, there's how I get to heaven. I'm looking for a quick fix. If I can just touch you or see you or make images of you or do something that I can inherit eternal life. And Jesus is saying, no, Don't call me good. He's saying, look at the essence of who I am. See, no one is good except God. And he's looking at his spiritual essence. And he's taking this young man and he's pointing him at the true essence of eternal life. And it's not, you know, in an image or in an appearance. I've always felt that one of the reasons we have no images of Christ, God protected us from idol worship. See? Because we'd be worshiping the idol, like the shroud that people are trying to say, can we worship this? Or, you know, people seeing Jesus in a ketchup bottle or on the side of a wall or in a cloud, and they want to worship it, and they'll come from all over the world when Jesus is saying, listen, look at the essence of who I am in God.
Well, we're back here live in our Intentional Living studio, and this is day two of God's Intention for Your Money. Big topic. You know, money rules many families and emotions and life and relationships. Counselors, we experience this when we've talked to couples in crises, that money is often one of the core issues that challenge the relationship. And so today and this series is intended to help you get focused on God's intention for your money. And it's part of our series. Now we're into December. Wow, can't believe it. Last month of the year for 2016. And do you realize that about 20% of all of the, about 20, about 20% of all of the support for the ministry that's needed will come in during December from Thanksgiving through the end of the year because it's a giving time. And so I just really feel the urgency and necessity during this critical time to, again, invite you to come and share a year-end gift with us for the Intentional Living Ministry, for our radio and our satellite and staff and outreach and all the things that we do through Intentional Living. And you can share a gift today very easily online by going to theintentionallife.com. Click on Donate, theintentionallife.com, or respond if you're on the mailing list with a gift. We'd appreciate it, and God bless you. If you could share $100, wow, thank you. But some of you could share $1,000 or $2,000 or $5,000. I know there are some that can do that today. If you can I challenge you to be a part? But whatever the amount is, it's going to matter a great deal. TheIntentionalLife.com. And thank you for standing with us. Intentional Living is for those people, those of you who are really wanting life to be more than just getting along or getting through or, you know, getting by. You want to experience that freedom and peace and purpose that God intends for your life. That's why we're here, and you make it possible. Thank you for your support. My friend Dr. Greg Jantz joins me in just a minute.
Hey, Dr. Randy. This is Tony from Macon, Georgia, and I'm being intentional with my finances. And it seems like no matter how small my check is, when I give God his money first, there's always just enough to pay the bills and to make it to the next pay period.
I'm being intentional by tithing my 10%. I've really made a mess out of my finances, and I figure God's the only one that can straighten it out.
I wanted to say on how I'm living intentionally when it comes to my finances as a single person. I had not been as stewarded over my finances in the past. What I decided to do was roll up my sleeves and do what I could do, and I started my own small-based cleaning business in order to put myself back on track and me become a steward over my finances.
Well, as I promised, Dr. Greg Jantz is here today. He's a part of our team here, one of the contributors to the Intentional Living Minute feature. He's a licensed mental health counselor, specializes in communication, and the founder of the Center for Counseling and Health Resources. We know it as a place of hope. And Greg, welcome to the program.
Good to always be with you, yes.
You know, this time of year, people are thinking about their finances and thinking about a new year, and maybe they're thinking about this is the year I'm going to get out of debt and what have you, but maybe they're not on the same page. Husband and wife not on the same page with money, have disagreements, have fights, and so on. What are some things you'd recommend when it comes to handling money and disagreements?
Oh, and we can have different values around money and be married a long time, and it could be a recurring issue. So first of all, you could be triggered this holiday time by some things that maybe have happened in the past. Always step back. Don't react or blame. Two things to avoid: reacting real quick and then blaming what you always overspend. You know, watch those words and step back and ask this question. what's really important to us this year?
Mm.
So make it an us, but what's really important to us? And have a discussion around that. And is it, you know, really important to us that we're spending or spending a certain amount? Is there certain things that we want to say we're going to do different this year? But be very proactive, but do it without blame.
Yeah. Why is it that we, and this is a human condition, I think, Greg, but we tend to, when we get into a conflict in marriage, the trigger goes off towards somebody's got to be at fault, somebody has to be blamed, as opposed to just logically saying, we got a problem, let's solve it. Why is that happening?
We all have a tendency to go, you've always done this, and
yeah.
Look, we're in debt because of you, and then we start bringing in history.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, no, we are sunk now.
Yeah, exactly.
So avoid history. Avoid anything that's got a tone of criticism. What happens is we'll start to rob the joy of the season. You know, let's say ahead of time, this is going to be a good year for us, for our family. You know what? This is a good year to do some things differently. So,
but if the couple really has, let's say, a really serious financial problem and there is someone who is really mismanaging the money, maybe they're using credit cards and they're going behind the back of their spouse and so on. How do you confront some of the more serious issues that can arise that money becomes symptomatic of it?
And you know, there are those issues and there is a more serious issue and money is systematic showing that there's an issue. So really what we're going to do, we go, okay, we probably need to, if we haven't yet, involved an outside party who can not only be a mediator, but help us. What's these core issues that we keep repeating? What's the patterns in our relationship? Is it money that points to, I don't trust you? What does this really point to? And Randy, you bring out a really good point, is it's really about trust.
Yeah.
So what is happening here that, you know, is a greater problem?
You know, being able to, like you say, identify what the real issue is, because money often is just symptomatic. Now, it could be that you're underemployed and there is a financial issue and you're trying everything you can. You're working together as a couple. In those cases, then you're at least on the same page and you can try to work it through.
That's right.
But money, as you know, in counseling, especially in marriage counseling, is often sort of one of the major issues that percolate to the surface. It seems to be something that couples have trouble talking about. Why is
Absolutely.
It difficult for couples to talk about money?
Well, one of the reasons is there's a lot of history or family history in it. So I can have, you know, we grew up differently in our relationship with money. We grew up differently. Maybe one family, they came out of, maybe it was like, oh, we always spend and there's always enough. And another family was more tight and rigid and they did budgets down to the penny. And we had different backgrounds.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not a matter of right or wrong, but we'll tend to judge our spouse's background or history as wrong. You guys did it all wrong.
Yeah, exactly.
So,
and not only that, I think we do come with different values. And then what we do, like you say, then we start to use that as a basis to say I'm right and you're wrong, as opposed to the very first thing that you said when we started is, you know, what's important to us? And if we can identify these are the issues that are most important, we want to raise our kids to be responsible adults, know how to handle money, we want to make sure that we can tithe, we want to make sure that we have adequate resources for the future. In other words, a few basic things, then you can put a plan together, even if you don't agree on every detail, you can at least start working together, which is so critical.
Mm-hmm.
Very good. Well, Greg, I appreciate you being a part of the program today as we're talking about God's intention for money.
You got it. Good to be with you.
A few of the tips I had in stretching money, mostly it was patience. You know, when I saw something I really wanted, I just said, Lord, bring that thing along in my price range in good time. I know that requires patience, and that's not something that's real popular right now, but it has been just amazing to watch him do that in so many ways. And his word says that he withholds no good gift from his children. And so when he does bring those things along, and even when he doesn't, I know and believe that that would not have been a good gift for me, but that if he wants me to have it,
nobody can stop it from coming to me. It's kind of like the story about riding in an airplane. You know, there's no reason to be afraid. If God wants you in heaven, nobody's going to stop him. And if he doesn't want you there, nobody's going to deliver you to his doorstep. Same thing goes for our finances and the blessings that he has in store for us on this planet. I just appreciate his generosity every time it comes through, and even when it doesn't, because I think he's grooming us for a better life.
Wow. Today, we would call that a peculiar person, right? Because of the childlike faith and dependence upon God. Today, in our culture, we live in a time when everything is empirical. You have to measure it and weigh it. It has to, if it doesn't measure up to scientific proof, then at best it's questionable, you know? And so those of us who accept that God's intentional love for us is real is a real challenge. But at the heart of it is faith. So thank you for sharing that. Intentional living every day. What's one thing today that you will do as a follower of Jesus Christ in your attitude, your heart, or in an action that really demonstrates your love for him? Now, keep in mind, we don't talk about intentional living to help God make you love you better or get you saved more as a result of being intentional. That is not this message. This is not a works-based deal here. But we're about really the freedom that follows when you come to a relationship with Christ that occurs when you choose to be intentional in your walk with him. And as we wrap it up today, we'll be back with the third day of our three-day series on God's intention for money tomorrow. Before we do, though, I just want to say thanks to those of you who've been going online. Thanks to those of you who've been calling. Thanks to those of you who are catching the vision during this Christmas year-end December month to share a gift to help us. We're listener-supported. We're not underwritten by, you know, commercials or big, you know, corporations and so on. It's because of your support that we can do this every day. And I just say thanks. If you could share a $100 gift or more, thank you. Some, you could share $1,000 or $2,000 or $5,000 or maybe whatever it is that God moves you to do. That's all we ask, be a part of it. Would you do that today? We say thanks in advance. Simply go to theintentionallife.com, click on the donate button, theintentionallife.com, or you can call during West Coast business hours, 888-888-1717, and press number 4. You're a difference maker. As I tell people, intentional living, while it's for everyone, not everyone is going to embrace it. But when you do, and you understand the difference it makes, boy, there's freedom, peace, and purpose to follow. And we're glad to be a part of it in your life. Tomorrow, more on the topic, God's intention for your money. We'll see you then from Intentional Living.